What's going on, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Triggered. This is Triggered, episode number 523 here on Thursday, July 11th. Sorry we didn't get it out to you yesterday on Wednesday. It's been a absolutely fucking crazy week, but we are here on Thursday. We wanted to get this episode out for you because it has been an absolutely...
It's been the ocean gate of...
You know, I don't want to say unbelievable few weeks, but like... I don't know, like, if we've ever lived through anything quite like this.
That's bad.
Because there's a few things going on here, right? You have Biden's, of course, disastrous debate performance, which sets off just, like, a domino effect of all kinds of crazy shit going on here. The Democrats are eating themselves alive at this point. But the most interesting thing to me, and we're really going to dive into this, is for the first time in our lifetimes... The media, the liberal media, and the media as a whole, we repeat ourselves, are attacking Democrats.
Yeah.
They have a hostile press, an adversarial press, for the first time I can ever remember. And...
They're not handling it well.
Well, yeah.
They're not handling it well at all.
Yeah.
They're running away. They're hiding in bushes. Mm-hmm. You know, Tim Kaine looked like a fucking hot mess in the corridors of the Senate. You know, it's just they don't know what to do. And part of it is the messaging, because they have this weird sort of position where, like, none of them – they all probably privately say the same thing, that Joe Biden can't win. But they're not going to come out and say that outright. So they have this position of, well, maybe he doesn't have what it takes. I don't think he can win. But I'm not going to call for him to drop out.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. You know, Michael Bennett went on CNN this week after his remarks at a Senate lunch were leaked, where he basically said that he can't win. And then he elaborated further, in which – and that, I mean, like, he really didn't, because he didn't say Biden should drop out. Even Caitlin Collins was like, it sounds like you're going to come to the juncture at this road where you're going to say that.
And
he
didn't, right.
He didn't want to say it. So they don't know what to do. And it's an unsolvable problem. Biden can't de-age. His media rehabilitation tour was – not good. You know, the flagship for that was the ABC News interview with George Stephanopoulos. And then Stephanopoulos was caught on the street saying, I don't think he can serve for 4 years.
Yeah, that was crazy.
In which case, he had to issue an apology. I don't know why. He said something that was completely non-controversial and accurate, and what most Democrats and what most voters think. I saw someone tweet, George Stephanopoulos, I apologize for telling the truth, and I absolutely will never have to do that again. So, there has to be a come to Jesus moment with among the dump Biden crowd, because I mean, and I'm not saying I hope this happens because I want Biden to stay on the ticket, but
of course we want Biden to stay.
We got to get him to stay. But if we're gonna have this, you know, get rid of him, replace him with someone else. Well, first of all, it just can't. From the memos I've read from on Semaphore and those others that have been leaked, they want to have this, like, speed dating fucking primary. Open to everybody, have a couple of debates, and then people decide at the convention.
That'll never work. There's not enough time for that.
No. Also, even if there was, what a fucking mess that is. Just, you know, you're going to have Kamala's people crying, you know, the whole sexism, racism, all the woke people are going to be coming out lecturing, which could help us, actually, by the way.
Sure.
But there is no time for that. Now, what about that whole good conscience bullshit with the delegates, though? There could be a delegate revolt. I've heard Biden's people are actually calling delegates and
they're taking the temperature.
Making sure, hey, you're going to be submitting...
Here's the thing. At this point, here's what it comes down to, right? And we've been saying this now, I think, for a couple weeks. If Biden doesn't choose to leave, there's virtually no shot that they're going to kick him out.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't say there's no chance, because there is a small percentage chance.
Yeah.
Do I think that they'll invoke those things like you were mentioning? I don't think so. There has been some rumors, you know, a couple of people have been like, we just 25th Amendment his ass right out of office. And I'm like, you know, realistically, that's probably what's needed. Do I want that to happen?
No.
Because that, you know, we want this old senile man to be the top of the ticket. But what I find most interesting about all this, And the delegate thing at the convention, remember, it's a virtual roll call.
That's right. Oh, I forgot.
So unless they're going to push that back, that virtual roll call is supposed to be in 10 days.
Yeah.
The Biden campaign strategy right now.
Given the situation, they probably should have it in person, to be honest with you.
Well, of course, I don't know if they're going to. But the Biden campaign strategy right now is to book things out several days in advance, right? Like, they have this new interview scheduled with Lester Holt on Monday night, 4 days from now.
Pre-taped and
edited. So they're, well, I don't know about edited. We'll see. They say they're going to release it in full.
Oh, okay. We'll see how tonight goes then.
Well, we'll talk about tonight in a second. They keep putting these things 4 days out in advance, right? They did that with Stephanopoulos.
Yep.
They got through the holiday. Yep. They did that with this week with the NATO press conference that's going to be happening tonight, which we're going to talk about. They're doing that with Monday. Their strategy is run out the clock.
Yeah.
They're trying to schedule these things, and then, you know, a couple weeks will go by, and they'll still have no movement on this, and the Democrats will be imploding on themselves continuously here, and then they'll be like, oh, well, it's too late.
Too late, yeah. You're with
and
me.
And it already is too late, in my opinion. But their only option is Kamala if they're going to go to someone different.
Yeah.
Now, at this time last week, on July 4th, I thought for sure they were going to go to Kamala.
Yeah.
And then over the weekend and earlier this week, Joe fucking triples down and says, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, well, they injected him with amphetamines, and Joe Biden kind of, you know, was basically like, I'll probably kill you if you drop out.
So yeah, which I'm fine with. I want him to stick around. It makes me very happy.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. You know, you mentioned the George Clooney thing, which apparently was greenlit by Obama directly.
Yeah.
You have, you know, but here's the thing. George Clooney hosted the fucking fundraiser for him. Everybody already knew he was all fucked up.
The fundraiser that when we saw the video of him walking off stage, everyone was like, that's a cheap. This was the beginning of the cheap, fake, liberal media narrative.
Mm-hmm.
That was this is the same fucking fundraiser. And he was said, the aloof, frail man that you saw on debate night was the man I saw at that fundraiser.
Well,
so.
and here's the biggest thing, the entire overarching situation here. Anybody with eyes saw for years now that Joe Biden has been declining.
Yeah.
We have been calling it out for years.
For years.
We were called conspiracy theorists. They called us liars. They said, you're totally wrong. The president behind closed doors is as spry as ever before.
Yeah.
And then their entire fucking hoax gets exposed on live TV.
Yeah.
And
cover up, really.
Well, yeah, they're cover up.
It was a massive cover up.
I mean, this is a scandal. The Democrats have put us in perhaps the most precarious, dangerous position that the country has been in a long time, having a senile, dementia-riddled man as our commander-in-chief. Yeah. And now, because he's getting clobbered by Trump, because he has dementia, right? But they don't care about the country or the situation we're
in.
It's
about him losing to Trump, absolutely.
Yeah, now they want to get rid of him because he's getting clobbered by Trump. Not because, you know, we might go into World War III with a dementia patient as our fucking commander-in-chief. And that's even more disgusting to me that, you know, they're like, well, he can't run again. Well, then he can't be president right now.
Yeah.
Look at him.
Yeah.
You know, the guy could barely even fucking walk. Jill has to help him down steps from a stage at the debate. I mean, that was an underrated moment. Yeah. And that was caught on camera.
Yeah.
The guy could barely walk. He could barely put a sentence together. Oh, he just has a stutter. That's fucking bullshit.
No. Jake Tapper was reading line for line what he said to George Stephanopoulos, especially one regarding his age and mental fitness, and it was absolutely incoherent.
Yeah.
So
I know I said this a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I watched this happen to my grandma. She had dementia. It's exactly what's happening, and it's going to accelerate over the next few weeks. He's going to get way, way worse continuously, and you know, I mean, I at this point, I hope they keep him in there because, like, it's the best for us. But it's not the greatest for the country, obviously. But Kamala is not a better option. And you remember, I said when he picked her, that was the greatest insurance policy he ever could have taken out.
Yep.
Because nobody wants that dumb bitch who only got her first job because she sucked Willie Brown's dick, which is a fact,
that's true.
to be president.
Yeah. He didn't want her.
You know the meme template of like the dominoes falling and getting progressive. The first one being sucking Willie Brown's dick, and then the last one being the presidency.
Yeah,
I mean this is just ridiculous. And any idea that they're gonna have someone else swoop in here is just not gonna work. Okay, the fundraising has totally dried up.
Yeah, it's not good. It's a total disaster. It's bad.
And even if they have someone swoop in, I'm not sure these fucking billionaires are gonna throw all their money in there anyway.
Yeah.
Because they're already admitting behind closed doors that they think that anyone will lose to Trump at this point.
They're redirecting everything to down ballot races, Senate,
which House. Also it looks pretty fucked not for good. Them at this point too. But and then they also are admitting behind closed doors, yeah, well, you know, maybe Trump isn't really that much of a threat to
the democracy. Yeah, I saw
that. You
I'm
saw
like,
that?
Yeah, I'm just like...
I'm like, okay, well...
Tim Miller was about to have a meltdown over that when Ezra Klein said that.
It's something, Ezra man. Klein, this is just one of the most extraordinary periods in political history. I mean, they will make, you know, documentaries and movies about this someday. And the Democrats will not be looked upon very well regardless of what happens here, because
egotistical, power hungry. I think Jill is going to look horrible. Mm-hmm. I think this whole family is being exposed for the power hungry, money grubbing whores that they are, a bunch of degenerates. Yeah. And, you know, like you said, they fucking knew too. You know, Chuck Todd finally decides 2 years later that when he spoke to a cabinet secretary that this person said, we really don't meet with the president, we don't talk to him a lot, and I'd be shocked if he ran for re-election. And I'm just like, well, first of all, who is this person?
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously still in government, because usually cabinet secretaries, resign after the second term if there's a second term. So who is this person?
Right.
I want to know who this person is, and they fucking knew. This whole, like, oh, the guardrails that they put, you know, around this president, they were just too easy to penetrate. Well, we're getting everything and their mother from these leaks, from these all these Democrat meetings. Nothing in Washington in general stays secret forever. That's bullshit. Mm-hmm. They knew. They did not want to look like they were helping Trump. And former New York Times executive editor Jill Abramson was like, you know what? I understand that, but guess what? It's absolutely irrelevant. And she called it a cover-up too. And, you know, when everyone was like, well, how did the media miss this? They knew. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, it's very interesting and
jarring, really disturbing, actually. I mean, we have, you know, now they're you know, Axios has been, I know you have your problems with them, and so do I, because in the past they, you know, but
well, here's the thing, is these liberal media outlets now are, they're mad for being exposed. But at the same time,
they're trying to gaslight us, as if sure. Oh yeah, they're like, oh well, we had no idea
for sure, which they all clearly knew.
They clearly knew.
But now they're scrambling to almost overcompensate.
Yeah.
Which I really love, because the Democrat comms professionals are having to work for the first time in their fucking lives,
and they don't know what to do.
They don't know what to do. They're like, oh my god, the media is the worst. I'm like, welcome to our fucking lives.
Exactly.
But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, but you know they have that one report about the three aides that have kept Biden in a cocoon,
mm-hmm.
quote, to the point where he's lost all or most independence. I believe it was a deputy chief of staff and then aides to the first lady. Mm-hmm. Shocker. Who's running the country?
Well,
those three. We have news that Jeff Zients, the White House chief of staff, is also running things. Like, who's running the goddamn country with all this dementia stuff?
I mean, so it's a great question.
The man, he can't operate past, you know, between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. He is apparently semi-cogent, and after that, he just goes down the tubes.
Mm-hmm.
So who's running the country?
Well, and that's a really interesting point, because so today we have this week we have the NATO conference here in D.C., and fuck them for destroying our traffic and robbing us blind, as usual. I mean, it really was something, Matt, Tuesday morning going to the office. Oh, yeah, it
took you an hour to get to what? To do what, 30 feet?
Normally, it takes me about 20 minutes to get to the office.
Yeah, it doesn't take long at all.
Took over an hour Tuesday morning. God. And from the time I got off the exit at the Pentagon to the time I got to the office was 47 minutes of that.
Oh.
It was just, it was not good. So fuck NATO. that's how I feel about that. and, you know, so they're here in town. He's doing this press conference today. in this press conference built up for 4 days, right, since Monday. Oh, the president's going to do his big boy press conference. So, two big things. Big boy
press conference. I can't believe someone let that slide. Yeah. Like, they framed it like this.
Don't poopy your pants. Yeah. He's not going to have a friendly press. Okay, it's not the White House press. It's
the European press. Oh Lord,
American and foreign.
Oh baby,
who are all out to show that they're not propagandists for the old senile man, right? So they're gonna have their knives out.
Yeah.
And then it was supposed to be at 5:30, which is already dangerously late.
Oh my God, 90 minutes past hypersleep time. Oh my God,
they push it back another hour this morning. I'm like, you're really rolling the fucking dice here, getting close to sundown on this dementia guy.
And this thing, minimum, has to be an hour. Minimum.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's a half hour.
But you know what I mean? If he wants to show vigor... But that's 26
minutes longer than anything he's done recently.
I hear you. Yeah. That's true. But if he wants to show vigor, mental fitness, and that he can stand, it has to be at least an hour. Trump was out in the blazing. Well, I know, but different story. But and Doral, he was out what, 90 minutes at minimum.
Yeah,
And he was sweating his balls off. That was a great rally, by the way.
Oh, it was a classic rally. It was a fucking classic rally. I mean, here's the thing. It was when he challenged him to the golf.
Give him 10 strokes aside.
Yeah, that was freaking great. But. More importantly, he challenged him to another debate, which is not going to happen.
Oh, boy.
If Biden is the candidate, I really do not see that September debate happening. I mean, maybe it might have to happen if by then Trump is still up what he is now, because Biden will need a game changer. Yeah. He's not going to have a game changer. He's going to be worse by September.
I agree.
So,
and at this point, they were what, off 2 weeks for prep, roughly? Because he came back from vacation, kind of dicked around, did nothing, and then went to Camp David for a week, and then the debate.
Oh, my God,
They're going to need – but remember, he was gassed from two trips and totally exhausted, and he had a cold. It's bullshit.
That's wild,
They're going to need at least almost a month then if they're going to do this second debate, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the
thing. Which, again, shines a light on the whole mental fitness and rigor thing
that happens. Right. It's like, I don't understand.
You have to trot him out there and risk a mental slippage, which, by the way, the dumb Biden people are now relegated to hoping for to make their case ironclad.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just the darkest corners of fantasy now are engulfing some Democrats, and I love it.
Yeah,
it would absolutely wreck everyone's election, though. I mean, if the that
Democrats
happens,
have just backed themselves so far into a corner here, and that's actually what scares me a little bit, is because they're desperate.
Yeah,
and usually, especially a president is desperate, that's when some really bad shit happens. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, whole wag the dog situation.
Yeah.
You know,
we might be going to war with Albania, guys.
Yeah. The New York Times just reported.
Yep. And
they've called for Biden to step down or step aside maybe for the election. I don't know what they're calling for at this point.
That is either.
Some Biden advisors are discussing how to persuade him to step aside. That's interesting. That will be interesting.
Good luck with that.
So tonight, I think tonight is pretty much a do or die moment for him. Now, here's the thing. They could put as much pressure on him as they want to, but at the end of the day, they still need Joe to say, do it himself.
To say, I'm out of here.
Yeah. And because, you said, the convention option, I just don't see that happening. Like, there's a movement to vote their conscience and, release the delegates. That's just not going to happen. That's not how it works. I don't see the DNC doing that.
Every time I hear that, I think of Ted Cruz at the RNC in 16. Yeah. Party unity, but vote your conscience.
Now it's, Now it's very possible. It's very possible if he has a major catastrophic moment tonight.
Yeah,
that will change.
It'll trigger it for sure.
Right. This is a very fluid situation. Yeah. It's almost changing by the hour.
Yeah.
And you have, Pelosi comes out and says, "Well, the president should do what he wants to do," which is essentially, the Democrats keep saying It's up to Joe to decide what to do.
That's the nuts.
Joe says, I'm staying. I'm running.
Fuck you.
And then the Democrats are like, well, it's up to him to decide what to do, as if they don't agree with his decision. Exactly. They want the other one. it's just unbelievable. I have not had a more enjoyable 2-week period in my life politically.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're going to talk about numbers in a second, but the numbers are astounding of what has happened post-debate to the polls, to the betting markets, to the projections from numerous data points. It's pretty shocking. And so not everyone has potentially seen some of these things that we're talking about, right?
Sure, sure.
So Jake Tapper here, who, by the way, fuck Jake Tapper. I mean, this guy worked to cover this up for years, and now he acts like he's on the cutting edge reporting this. Listen to this fucking guy.
In reality, 72% of voters say that they believe President Biden is too old. That's according to CNN's most recent polling. Voters have been saying this for quite a long time. The reality is that the Democratic elites are mostly late to acknowledge these age and ability issues compared to the rest of the public. The elites have been forced to reckon with it after the debate just 11 days ago.
Look at my career. I've not had many of those nights. It was a terrible night, and I really regret it happened. But the fact of the matter is, how can you assure you're going to be on you know, faith that can intervene on your way to go to, you know, work tomorrow? Age wasn't, you know, the idea, I'm too old.
The fact of the matter is, how can you assure you're going to be out on, you know, on your way to go, you know, work tomorrow? Age wasn't, you know, the idea that I'm too old. Keep in mind, that soundbite is supposed to be reassuring to those Democratic supporters who have gone wobbly.
Oh, my God. Lordy. Fuck Jake Tapper. And then, you know, Joey, like you mentioned, Chuck Todd saying that 2 years ago, this person, I don't have that one, actually. But I do have this one. Mm. Nancy Pelosi, we were just saying.
Yes. She had a meltdown yesterday.
Yeah. This was in the hallways of Congress, right? Take a listen. This was an ABC News reporter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's how you know the fucking knives are out. Roll that clip.
I really convey to President Biden what you said this morning.
I'm not having a conversation with you or anybody else about what I talked to the president about, with all due respect.
Do you believe that?
I never do, so it's nothing new.
I understand, Madam Speaker. Do you believe that him waiting so long to make this
I'm
decision could harm the
party? I'm not making any comments in the hallway about fate of our nation.
Okay. Are you concerned whether or not he can win in November?
I think he can win.
Do you believe he should run for re-election?
Am I speaking English to you? I'm not going to be making any statements about any of that right now in the hallway.
Oh my God!
The part where she says, "Am I speaking English to you?" I'm like, "Oh my God!"
Well, here's the thing: is she hasn't looked so great on TV herself.
No,
we all
she's also 1,000 years old
and an alcoholic. Yeah. But you know, and then Gretchen Whitmer, Adolf Whitmer.
Oh my God!
Goes on CNN. This is the best. Goes on CNN and says what I'm about to play for you here, but then 20 minutes later, tweets, I'm with Joe Biden. He's going to win this thing. Take a listen.
What more should he do to shut this conversation down? Should he, as some people have suggested, just go ahead and take a cognitive test and demand that Donald Trump do the same?
I don't think that it'd hurt, to be honest. But at the end of the day, you know,
I think that he should take a cognitive test?
I don't
test.
Think it would hurt. But here's the thing.
Oh, my God. I'm gonna save these Biden clips for the end, for the Biden clips of the day, because there's four of them here and they're fucking insane. We didn't even talk about the Parkinson stuff.
Oh,
The doctors visiting the White House. Karine Grey-Poupon lying about that. Then having to issue a new statement from the doctors, naming them. And then, but Joe Biden wasn't there.
Oh,
then 24 hours later,
He was there. Yeah. This narrative has gone through more surgeries than the transgender.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's ridiculous. They can't keep it straight. That letter, I mean, she couldn't, also that adds the whole cover-up narrative.
Yeah.
Because they can't get anything. There's not one narrative about this that hasn't been, you know, combustible within like 20 hours. So does the president have Parkinson's? And now some crazy person out in Arizona had a letter to the editor saying, I'm a doctor, and actually it's a good thing if Joe has Parkinson's, so that means cognitive function hasn't declined. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, wait, hold on. Parkinson's is good now?
Yeah.
They don't know what to do.
Like that's I said, it's changing, you know, hour by hour. And I really love Corinne Gray-Poupon getting so flustered in the briefing room.
Oh, she
room.
Has no... Oh, my God.
Man. She can't handle this.
I'm surprised. I think they should have a deputy out there, to be honest with you.
They've sent Kirby out a couple times, and he gets asked about it. He's like, well, I can't talk about that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, no, it's always that... Well, I don't think it's appropriate to discuss discussions with the president. I'm just like, that's not what we're asking. Yep.
So, yeah, the press conference is going to happen at 6:30 today. If you're listening to Triggered before that, we will have full coverage for you across the network. We'll have a live blog on Town Hall and, of course, every reaction after it if Joe Biden has a total meltdown. I am hoping that he has a few slip-ups but does just well enough to escape by.
Kind of like ABC News' interview with Stephanopoulos.
Which was also a disaster.
It was bad, but not bad enough. Keep him in purgatory.
Yep. Other thing before we get just to the rest of the 2024 discussion here, as you can tell, this election's heating up.
Yeah.
It really is heating up since the debate.
Yeah, and somebody doesn't have enough money to, might not have enough money to carry himself through.
Well, sure, yeah.
those mega donors, Abigail Disney, I'm not giving you a dime.
Well, and we talked about the fact that Trump is already way ahead.
Oh, way ahead.
If they were to ditch Biden, they would have to go Kamala because that's the only way they could have access to that money. But, before we get into the rest of the 2024 stuff, I want to talk about the CPI report real quick from this morning.
Oh.
They, over at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, were in the fucking lab like Heisenberg, Walter White, cooking the fucking books on this report. Anybody that believes that inflation went down 0.1%, I have a literal fucking pot of gold from a leprechaun to sell you, because that is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. And, you know, to keep in mind, it excludes literally everything you need to live, energy, housing. It's just fucking ridiculous. But now they're just using that as an excuse to cut the rate in September, which is what we, you know, essentially expected here at this point. And they are going to regret that so badly. Ugh. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. And because Powell doesn't need to do this. Biden no longer has any power over him because Biden's going to be gone no matter what.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Before it was always like, oh, maybe you'll do a little favor for me in September before the election. Now Biden's getting fucking raped in the polls, in the media, everything. He has no power, no legitimacy anymore. They just need to keep things where they are. If you look at the numbers, the economy itself is just fucked. And easing on the rates is going to have a number of effects, none of them good. And you're going to be talking about severe stagflation.
Yeah.
They're going to spur a second wave of inflation that's going to mimic exactly what happened in the 70s with Carter, because they got the first wave of inflation under control, then they let up on the policy, and the second wave came back harder and worse than ever before.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's going to happen here if they don't get their heads out of their asses. Keep the rates where they are. Frankly, the rates should be even higher than where they are right now.
Yeah, we're going to need the Paul Volcker a little, you know. Yeah. So that's how, you know, we got to have a little pinch here.
It's just crazy to me. It's crazy. All right, let's get into the 2024 polls, because the polls have been really interesting here.
Baby.
You know, we're data people here, and the data is showing that the Trump and the Republicans are in the best position we've been in perhaps
ever.
Well, I don't know about ever.
I mean, sorry. Ever of the last 20 Trump's years era, yeah.
Since since before the 2008 financial crisis, you know, we have, you know, keep in mind that in the 2016 and 2020 elections, in 2016, Trump never led any poll or polling average ever.
They gave Hillary a 99.2% chance of winning. Remember that
In 2020, Trump did not lead the polling except for, I think, 9 days out of the entire election cycle. Okay? Then, now, Trump has now grown his lead to such a significant margin. I mean, in the average of polls, he's up 3 points on the popular vote, okay?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which really means he's up at least 5 on the Electoral College.
Yeah.
You have Electoral College projections right now that are putting him well north of 320 electoral votes, essentially a landslide.
It is.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It has him sweeping states like Arizona, Georgia. Let's look at the averages here, okay?
Yep, yep.
The average of polls, Trump plus 5.4 in Arizona, plus 4 in Georgia, 0.6 in Michigan, which is the closest out of all the battlegrounds, up over 5 in Nevada, almost 6 in North Carolina. This one is really particularly shocking. Over 5 points up on average in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that might be a little overestimated.
But Political Report, you know, Amy Walter was like, Democrat and Republican private firms have been have been doing polling.
Yes.
They say anywhere from 4 to 10.
Yes.
It's extended.
I would agree.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania, that the cruel mistress to Republicans since 88.
And Wisconsin, Trump up over 2 points. In Pennsylvania, wow. They were supposed to have a Pennsylvania Legislators for Biden rally today.
Did you see the photos?
There's like 4 people there.
Yeah, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
If he wins that state, it's over. Can we just say that? It's over.
I'll tell you what. Over the 4th of July holiday, I saw a poll that had New Jersey tied. We also saw a poll that had New York below 5 points.
Oh, they're shitting bricks up there. They think they're a battleground state this cycle.
Yeah, the lieutenant governor just abandoned Biden.
Oh, Hochul is pissed.
Yeah, she's a cunt.
I know she is, but I'm just saying. That's pretty funny.
They apparently had private polling that showed the state tied.
Oh, my God.
Now, I went to...
So that means Trump's leading in New Hampshire, if that's the case.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Right? I mean...
If New York's that close, New Jersey's that close, then I think Virginia has a real shot of going. New Hampshire has a real shot of going.
And Maine.
Minnesota, Maine, Nebraska's second district... you know, it really could be a heavy landslide.
That's a landslide, man.
And you're seeing people like David Axelrod going out there and saying that. And David Axelrod, for all of his, you know, being a liberal hack, is a smart guy when it comes to electoral politics.
And he knows how to win.
He won Obama.
Yeah, he knows how to win.
Yeah. He knows what it takes.
Him and David Plouffe.
Yeah. So, you know, let's not get complacent here. Let's keep raising money. Yeah.
Pedal to the metal.
Keep hitting the ground.
Yeah.
Voter integrity is very, very important.
We passed a gray voter integrity law in the House last night.
Going to fail in the Senate, but yes. Mm-hmm. You know, the Democrats have all voted for illegal aliens to vote in our elections.
Yeah,
so when they tell you what they want, you listen. Also, the inherent contempt resolution just failed because Republicans in the House don't have a spine. I think 12 of them or 16 of them did not vote in the affirmative for it. So yeah, you know, we just have to keep pushing forward. And we are in such a great position right now where we haven't even made our VP pick yet. We haven't made it to the convention yet. We haven't. Trump has so much cash on hand, and they have a serious plan to blanket the battleground states with advertising.
Yeah.
Not just from the campaign, but also from the outside PACs. What's her name?
Addison's
wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, widower.
Yeah.
She plans on spending almost $70 million of her own money.
It'll be on the economy, immigration, and I believe crime.
Yeah.
So
there was a focus group
when
last
the Summer
night.
Olympics is going on, so peak viewership.
Yes.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yep. There, you could see this go to 10 points, I think, in the polls. I would not be surprised at all right now. Yeah. I just saw a video of a Daily Show, you know, fuck the Daily Show, but that they did a focus group of blacks.
Half of them said they were going to vote for Biden.
Yeah.
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 I mean, sorry, Trump.
I mean, Trump. Well, half of them did say they vote for Biden still, but Trump, you know, there's been polls that have been over 30% black support, almost full majority support of Hispanics. If that trend continues, then fuck the suburban white women.
I know, really.
We don't need those Karens. Yeah. And, you know, I read a very interesting piece last night.
We got non-white working class voters to overwhelm them, so it's okay.
I read a very interesting piece last night. It was by Tim Alberta, who's a real fucking piece of shit. But sometimes he does get good scoops. And he interviewed Chris LaCivita and Susie Wiles, the leaders of the Trump campaign.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I found very interesting that their strategy, they said, is the old RNC spent way too much time and money on a lot of things, including failed ground games, you know, volume of contacts over quality of contacts, and obsession with the suburban vote, particularly suburban white women.
Yeah.
And they said, we look at it a little bit differently. We look at it as the quality of the contact. And instead of having this massive paid network of campaign people to enlist local diehard Trump supporters to be captains of their get out the vote. That's how they crushed it in Iowa, by the way. It's a really long article, really a ton of detail, really good, really, really good reporting, honestly. Of course, it has liberal bullshit spiced in there. But and the line that stood out to me most was, I think, Susie Wiles said, for every Karen that we lose, we're picking up, I forget what the names were, but it was a black name and a Hispanic name. And if we do that, not only do we win this election in a landslide, but we potentially remake the Republican Party for a generation to come.
Woo.
And Chris LaCivita says, we're out here to win this and win the future. And I'm like, I have to say, I am so thrilled with how the Trump campaign has been run. It has been
more professional,
so professional,
disciplined as all hell.
They even convinced Trump to make donor calls. He never did that before. They said he's on the phone dialing at 7 in the morning asking for money. And that's why he has so much cash on hand right now.
I would take all my savings.
Hello, this is Donald Trump.
Storm, we need you to stop the illegal invasion. They're raping their kids. That was great, that line. You want to go to the monument? You want to see the city? You go to our cities now, you'll get shot, you get raped, you get...
Well, it's true. D.C., I mean...
Yeah.
In the rally the other night, I love when he does the dramatic music, by the way. Some people say it's over the top. I fucking
love it. But that's a great poem, though, about what...
It is.
His vision of America.
It is. And also, it creates great viral video, which goes really viral on Instagram and other places. They have a really professional campaign operation, and I'm impressed with it.
And an RNC that's not like, you know, semi-retarded.
Well, the RNC is part of the campaign essentially which I think is also a really smart thing.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It is a bold strategy. It is a gamble. I'm a gambling man. But if it pays off, if it's successful, they'll go down as perhaps the smartest operation in political history at this point. But if it fails, it'll be a total disaster.
Yeah.
It could explode like the Challenger, you know?
But what we had before the playbook, it was old.
Well, Ronna was a fucking retard. Yeah. She sucked. All the people around her sucked.
Yeah.
They were all just in it for their own money. They weren't warriors. They weren't actual red meat conservatives. Yeah. That was always the issue I had with them.
Yeah.
And
the things you just listed, like, that's like 04 type tactics.
Correct. I mean, Romney tactics.
Like that's like when remember voter vault? That's like when voter vault was like the thing, you know? It's just like you gotta change, man. I mean, Obama showed us that.
Yeah.
But Lord D.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very optimistic about that. Yeah. And one thing that really was just so on point was as the Democrats are melting down here, as Biden's melting down here, they were quiet. Trump was quiet.
Yeah.
Trump let them self-immolate themselves on the altar of politics, and he was just sitting in the background being quiet.
Yeah.
And you notice how much it bothered them?
Oh, yeah.
They're like, where's Trump?
They had
Why isn't he saying anything?
Yeah.
Where's Trump at? Why is he saying anything? Because they needed
him. Where's the VP announcement? Remember? It was like something like that. Yeah.
They needed him to come out to take attention off them because for the first time,
There was only one little leaked video of him golfing with his son, which was hilarious.
Awesome.
And he just, you know, called, you know, look at that broken down piece of crap, Kamala. Mm-hmm. She's so pathetic. And then the Biden response team, like, just did not know how to react to this. They're like, look, Trump says something nice about Chinese dictators.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's not what this is about. Also, it just showed you how much of a problem the Democrats and Biden was because it lasted, what, maybe 10 minutes in the news cycle, and then everyone was back to, is Joe Biden half brain dead? Mm-hmm. And I did like how – you see his no tax on tips when he's tipping the – I think they're caddies. So I thought it was a funny video.
All right. So let's get into looking towards the future because next week is a big week.
Mm.
I don't think that Trump – there is a rally tonight, I believe. I think there is a rally tonight. I can't recall where.
In Butler County?
It might be.
Pennsylvania. It's in Pennsylvania.
Is it in Pennsylvania? Yeah.
Or it might be. Yeah.
We don't know.
We don't know.
It's somewhere.
It's somewhere. But you're right. There is another rally. I think it is in Butler County.
Uh-huh. So you were right about Butler, Pennsylvania, but it's actually Saturday.
Oh, Saturday.
Saturday night. I'm actually glad it's not tonight to compete against Biden and take attention off that because we need the attention. Because
if he falls down.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, what did he tell Stoltenberg, that he was an intellectual wigger?
Oh, yes.
That's what he said, right?
Yeah. When the bombs were in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
I think we got those clips for it. We'll do that at the end. But looking at next week, right, we got the VP pick coming up. I don't think he's going to announce the VP pick at the rally Saturday. He very well could. It very well could. But I think he's going to do the VP pick probably on Monday or Tuesday.
Or when he gets formally nominated, you know, when he gets the delegates.
Well, no, here's the thing. Remember
that's remember very, that's very apprentice-like, is to, you know, wait until the bitter end.
2020 didn't have a real, you know, arena convention, right?
Yeah.
But in 2016, remember, he showed up.
Oh, yeah.
On, I think it was maybe Monday or Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And just did like a little drop by.
Yeah.
Just to tease everybody.
Yeah.
He might do something similar to that, where he'll show up and announce the VP pick live on stage. That would really draw attention. But it might be Saturday night, so we'll see. There's a lot of speculation here over who it's going to be. We've seen a lot of names tossed around. You know, if you believe some reporting, it seems as if the top three have come down to Rubio, J.D. Vance, or Youngkin as the sleeper candidate.
Wow.
I don't know if I buy that as the top three. I mean, I'd be happy with any three of those. Any three of those would be absolutely tremendous for a number of reasons. Each of them has their own reasons. You know, I love J.D. Vance. I just really worry about taking a great conservative like him out of the Senate to a essentially meaningless job. Now, lining him up for a potential future presidency would be great, but, like, the Senate's a fucking disaster as far as rhinos go, and he's really one of the only fighters we have there.
Yeah.
Also, if you take him out, guess who gets to pick his replacement?
DeWine? Yeah.
DeWine.
I know. Who you don't fucking, like, I know.
Fucking biggest cuck in the country of a Republican governor.
Yeah.
Worse than Larry Hogan. That's how bad he is. So, you know,
hey, Larry Hogan's going to be a senator at this rate. You saw that? He is running. People love him over there, including Democrats.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take the
vote. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, I'll take the flip.
But yeah, you know, I think I tweeted a list the other day, and some people were giving me flack for it. Let me find it. Okay. So here was my list ranked that I put out there. Under the tremendous category would be Youngkin and Rubio. Under the very satisfied category would be Burgum and Vance. Burgum's kind of faded to the background a little bit.
Yeah.
But he was also rumored to be in the top 3 to 4 here, which I very well could see.
George Washington.
I think there was a very interesting interview with Trump about this VP pick where he kind of ran down the list. He said, Rubio, very good. You know, the Florida thing's an issue, but that could be fixed very easily.
Yeah.
And it can be actually fixed very easily. I researched this.
Yeah.
Rubio could keep his Senate seat and change his address. Because to constitutionally be elected a senator, you just have to meet the age requirement, be a citizen, obviously, and live in the state you're running to represent at the time of the election.
Oh, okay.
So he could easily become a Georgia resident or wherever the fuck he wants to. Yeah. And then you do that. And then dissatisfied would qualify with Ben Carson. Not because I don't like Ben Carson. I just don't think he does anything for us as VP. He doesn't really necessarily bring in a constituency.
I also think Harris can beat him in a debate. Sorry.
He's not forceful enough.
You know what I'm trying to say? Sure. I think she would dominate the stage.
Kristi Noem, the dog killer, not a fan. I don't think that she does a whole lot to help us at all.
Do it for cricket.
You know, I think that she has shown her judgment to be lacking severely by the fact that she not only put the dog killing story into a book.
And a goat. She's actually a double murderer.
Well, sure. Regardless of whether those killings were, you know,
cricket, look
correct.
Look at the flowers.
You know, I don't know if I – listen, Farmland is very different from where we live, okay?
No, there's a huge
– but you don't brag about it in a book.
I know. It's ridiculous.
It's just dumb. And then she also made up the story about Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, it's bad.
Like, this is just bad judgment. Yeah. So.
And everyone told her not to put the fucking dog story in there. It adds nothing to the whole gusto to your character.
And then highly dissatisfied, I would qualify as Tim Scott, Vivek Ramaswamy, and Nikki Haley. I don't think any three of them are in the top contention at this point. I think it comes down to Burgum, Vance, Youngkin, and Rubio. Of that group, I would be most satisfied with Glenn Youngkin for a number of reasons. Rubio would also be right up there. They're right neck and neck because Rubio can bring the Hispanic vote. He can appeal to Hispanics across the country. He can speak Spanish fluently. And I also think that he's been a great defender of America First. You know, they went at it in 2016, and Trump said this at the rally the other night. We had a vicious campaign, but now we've become really just great friends, and he's a great guy, a great conservative. And he really has become America First, and he goes on these news networks and takes on these liberal hosts and just crushes them.
Yeah.
You remember a couple months ago on the show, I played like a 2-minute clip of him just crushing John Carl to his face on ABC, which was amazing. Youngkin, for obvious reasons, he could potentially bring Virginia along with him. It's a swing state. I also think that Trump is really thinking of who's going to take on the mantle of MAGA and America First after me. I think he's really thinking of the future of that because he knows he can't run again. Yeah. And he knows that whoever is the VP is going to have a big leg up in the race. Youngkin, appealing to Trump would be the fact that Youngkin's an outsider. He is, yes, people look at him as a moderate, but actually he's governed Virginia, a very bluish purple state, in a very conservative way.
Yeah.
Virginia has been voted the best for business in the country. It's got one of the best budgets, you know, besides like Florida, obviously. Florida, yeah. But you're working with a very conservative state in Florida. And Youngkin was a businessman, right? He was an outsider. So I think they could get along on that front. The only thing I think that Trump might not like is that Youngkin would be taller than Trump. You know?
Family of
that's
giants.
Why I think Rubio might get the leg up there because he's obviously much shorter than Trump. You know, Burgum, we've talked at length about Burgum and his pluses. In that interview, he said that Burgum, you know, passed a very restrictive abortion law, which could be a problem. You know, as far as trying to tame the abortion messaging. We didn't really talk about the GOP platform much on the show.
It's completely changed. It's become more populist. That's what it is. I mean, populists aren't really hardcore social conservatives. I am a little worried. You know, some gun stuff was taken off.
Sure, but at the end of the day, here's the thing.
I mean, we kind of won that.
The platform is a dumb fucking document that has no effect on anything whatsoever. Yeah. And I've always felt this way about this. Everyone freaks out about, oh, this provision is there. Oh, this... That, you think that Trump's going to have that framed on his fucking desk while he's governing the country?
Wait, hold on a second.
Yeah, let me check.
Is this on the platform?
Yeah, exactly. You know, so like, you know, and then them trying to say, oh, Trump's a liberal on abortion and this. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, the guy who delivered reversal of Roe v. Wade, big time liberal. he's got a very pragmatic electoral take on abortion, which lines up with not only our take on it, right? We're in agreement on that.
Pretty much.
But the take of many reasonable people in this country, yes, extreme, you know, to quote the left, extreme pro-life or anti-abortion has long been in the platform. But perhaps now that Roe v. Wade's gone, it goes back to the states. Yeah. Now, you can be personally in favor of a national abortion ban. I am not. Because it's just a bad idea electorally.
It's a losing issue.
Yeah, it's a losing issue.
We lost in Kansas. We lost in fucking Ohio.
Yeah, in which a state that Trump's going to win by 12.
Yeah.
Right?
A lot of Republicans voted to put that amendment in the state constitution. So it's not a winning issue.
Pro-life, anti-abortion. Of course I'm pro-life, anti-abortion. But that being said, I do think, you know, as a big states' rights person that, you know, perhaps the state should make those decisions. And in Florida, you have a 6-week abortion ban, which might get overturned by referendum in the election this fall. But you have states like New York where you can kill your babies anytime you want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's the difference. Like, it's almost the same thing with gun laws. Like, you know, the Second Amendment is actually an absolute right, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, the whole abortion thing, it always comes back to Roe v. Wade of there was no constitutional
right. There is no constitutional right to an abortion.
Right. Yeah. So, and then the whole, gay marriage thing, marriage between
men and women. Again, nothing in the Constitution about that. Which is why the legislatures can have laws that permit it or prevent it.
But I'm also Well, then, no, they can't because the Supreme Court ruled.
Well, that, well, yeah, Obergefell. Yeah. Well, no, sorry, but you know what I mean. But like before,
but
I mean,
no. But here's my thing:
Scalia would have been like,
Obergefell's done.
Yeah,
it's over. That's the past. Yeah. It's not going to get changed. They're not going to change that.
And I think that's not the hill for us to die on.
Exactly. Exactly. Not to mention that. Yeah, you may be personally, religiously, or whatever against gays or gay marriage or this or that, but, you know, we're actually picking up a lot of support among the gays for Trump, okay? And I'll take their votes in the places that matter, you know? And if they want to be miserable and get married, what the fuck ever, let them do it. They're not going to be doing it in a Catholic church, and for me, that's what I care. You know, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Oh, especially with this Pope.
Oh, well, the Pope that calls him the F word?
Yes, yes. Twice.
There's too much.
Yeah, there's too much Fogaccini in the church. You know, I've recently been enlightened to the fact that the Pope actually gets portrayed in American and global media as a leftist, but actually is quite a traditionalist when it comes to the church itself.
Yeah.
Now, he has political views, you know, the immigration shit, the climate change, all that, whatever. But the church itself, he's very staunch about that, as seen by the F-word debacle, where then he doubled down on that after that, which was fucking hilarious. Here's the thing. I don't necessarily want my political party to be the church either.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people don't necessarily agree with that. I don't know that Triggered fans are going to necessarily agree with that either. But, you know, email us and let us know if you agree with that, triggered@townhall.com. But, like, as far as I'm concerned, the whole gay marriage thing was settled, what, more than a decade ago. I'm like, we got bigger fucking problems right now.
Done.
The country's being invaded by illegals.
Yeah.
Crime is out of control. Americans are being raped in the streets by these illegals.
Inflation,
you know, and, everything. Yeah, the economy's in shambles.
Getting the world like, in order, like...
If these gays want to go down to a courthouse and get a marriage license, be my fucking guest. Yeah, I really don't give a fuck.
I salute, you know?
Yeah. It's like... there's so much more problems, significant problems to worry about, but there's a lot of people freaking out about it. You know, the Christian hardcore conservative right. You have, you know, people like Tony Perkins, who I really can't stand, but he's like, oh, this is a betrayal, and why should I even vote for Republicans? Well, I'll tell you why should you vote for a fucking Republican, because guess what? If you don't, the country might not fucking exist in 2028. You know, there's a great meme that I saw that was like, oh, well, at least I have my conscience. And then the next slide is 2028, and it's just a nuclear wasteland. It's like, you know, and people like fucking retard Jenna Ellis and all those people who are freaking out about nothing. It's like, calm the fuck down.
Calm your tits.
Yeah. And then, you know, after the whole platform debacle, you have the sect of people who still refuse to get behind Trump that were DeSantis supporters, and you know, whatever. I think it's freaking retarded. But they were freaking out because, oh, DeSantis didn't get invited to speak at the convention, and look at all these other people they have speaking. Well, DeSantis is speaking at the convention. I'm like, guys, we are in the best political position we have been in as long as I could remember. Certainly as long as when I've been of voting age, okay? Which has been for 13 years now, okay? And even going back, you know, we were always politically involved in our youth. You know, you were the same as me, like helping campaigns even before you could vote.
Yeah.
The first campaign I ever helped was 2008, right? It was my local congressman, Chris Smith from New Jersey. You know, he's kind of rhino-ish, but he is solid conservative on a lot of things, if at least as far as New Jersey goes. You know, I remember that the McCain... Obama, remember how fucking awful that was?
Oh, God.
Do you remember how we thought we were going to win against Obama the second time and then Romney just fucked it up?
Yep.
Do you remember when, you know, we in between there had the Tea Party, which was great, and then 2014 midterms against Obama, which was great, 2016, which was arguably the best night in, you know, our political history when Trump upset the entire world and won. But right now, we are in such a position to take this country back. And not only that, potentially hand the Democrats such a crushing blow that they will be forced to rethink
everything. Yeah.
And we could push them to the political darkness for at least 2 years. But I think if Trump turns things around in the first 2 years, you may not even see as much of a midterm lashback.
Well, it might be one of those rare instances where we actually gain seats.
Well, yeah, depending on the map.
I mean, Bush gained seats after 9/11. Uh-huh. I mean, let's win this one first, obviously.
Right.
A lot of shit.
But my whole point, anyway, getting to, really long-winded point, but my whole point is that these people that are just intent on being miserable.
Oh, the Eeyores? Yeah, man.
It's like, guess what? Get on the fucking team and support your team.
Yeah.
You may not always agree with everything that's said. I don't necessarily always agree with everything that's said, you know, whether it be by Trump or by the party or the platform or whatever or this or that. Just get on the fucking team.
Don't be Nikki Haley.
Right. Even Nikki Haley's on the team.
Yeah, but it took her a long-ass time to get on the fucking team.
Sure, sure. But she is now. And that's what matters.
Yes, it is. Right?
But that's the point I'm
making. Don't be like when you know it's done, get on the fucking train.
But that's the point I'm making is that right now, everyone just needs to unify, get behind Trump, vote Republican. You know, go volunteer for your local Republicans. Yeah. If you like your Republican congressman, go knock doors for them. Go make phone calls. Yeah. Donate if you can. Donate to RNC. Donate to Trump. You know, be a part of this because this really is our last chance. And we're in such a position right now that if you told me back in February this is the position we'd be in, I'd say you're out of your fucking mind.
Oh, yeah.
But we're here, and we have a chance to do something.
I came into this cycle absolutely depressed.
Yes. Yeah, we have a chance to do something unbelievable. And it is going to be a really impressive convention next week, I think. Monday, the theme is Make America Wealthy Again. Tuesday, Make America Safe Again. Wednesday, Make America Strong Again. And Thursday, Make America Great Again. And I think they're going to put on a good show. I think it's going to give us a little bump. We're going to get the VP pick. There's going to be massive spending. Biden's going to continue to fall apart. They really fucked up in the fact that their convention's late.
Well, because they thought that they were going to be besieged by pro-Hamas people, so they changed everything. But then he had his mental blow up on June 27th.
It is time to get out there and win this thing.
Let's go.
We can put the kill shot on this over the next month to two
years. I agree with that, yeah.
And we could coast into the fall, keep pushing on. You know, obviously there's still a lot of work to be done, but we could put ourselves in a position here over these next 6 to 8 weeks, essentially, is what I'm saying, that – it could be done. And it could be a Reagan-esque landslide that ushers in a Republican president, a Republican Senate, and a Republican House to get done what we need to get done. And also that, it would be a president who's not under threat of re-election.
Yeah.
A president who will go out there and do what he needs to fucking do to fix this country, and he's not going to give a fuck what anybody says.
Yes.
And that might be the most powerful tool out there. Because it really...
He might deploy tanks in San Francisco to get law and order back.
Yeah. Well, you know...
By the way, if he wins...
I was talking to people...
I want tanks at the inauguration parade.
Well, yeah. Okay,
I don't want that shit, man.
I was talking to somebody last week because I went up to, Long Island for the 4th, and I was talking to somebody who lives in New York City. I'm like, you understand that they're going to send in National Guard or New York City to deport all these illegals, right? And this person, a center leftist, I would say. Not leftist as in, crazy, but Democrat tendencies.
Yeah.
Was like, fuck yeah, let's get them out of here.
Goodbye.
And I'm like, okay, this is what we need. All right. So, rest in peace to Senator Jim Inhofe. Wasn't the hugest fan of him. But what they did in his obituary, the left was just absolutely egregious. The left hates you and wants you dead. And that's, they were like, oh, who said climate change was a hoax? I don't have time to get into the climate change shit right now. But what we've got here is a couple of Biden clips for you. Let's roll them all together. One big supercut, Mr. Producer. Roll those clips.
Even before Russia bombs were falling in Ukraine, the alliance acted. I ordered the U.S. reinforcements at NATO's eastern flank for 5 additional strategic air defense systems. Destroy Ukraine's culture. In the year 2020, the year I was elected president, only 9 NATO allies are spending 2% of their defense GDP on defense. This year, 23 will spend at least 2%.
Nice. 3 gaffes and 1 credit to Trump at the end there, which is really interesting. because he's taking credit for what Trump did with NATO and getting everybody to pay. So that's really interesting. All right, great show here today. Of course, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, thoughts, email us, triggered@townhall.com. We love hearing from you. Don't ever always get to respond to everyone, but I do read everyone, I promise you that. If you enjoy Triggered and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code USA60 to get 60% off your membership. Get into this exclusive Club of Patriots. I'm only putting 60% off for triggered listeners, so if you haven't done it yet, I promise you, now is the time to get on board.
I was about to say, didn't this expire like a week ago?
It expires when I say it expires. The code still works.
But hey, hey, you Triggered listeners, it's a special treat.
Yeah, not only will you be directly funding what we're doing here on Triggered and get access to Triggered Uncensored, which is also ad-free, you won't have to hear any gold ads, but you will, of course, get our other VIP members-only content. Not going to go through the list. It's unbelievable amount of content. You will love it. It is red meat for conservatives, by conservatives. No rhino bullshit in there. Townhallvip.com. Use the promo code USA60. That's USA60 for 60% off. Thank you to all of you who are VIP members, and it's so many of you who are triggered listeners. It means the world to us. We love you. We do this show for you. We love you all. And we are going to be bringing two-time-a-week Triggered back in September. So get your VIP membership now, and if you're, you become a VIP gold member, you get gold access across the entire network. It's like $35 for the whole year. It's an unbelievable deal. I mean, that's $3 a month for 6 conservative websites, and you'll be supporting us directly in our fight against the left, because Google, Big Tech, all of them are coming after us. They want to get rid of us. They want to shut us down. They want to censor us. That is a huge part of my job, is running our subscription program. So if you could support us, really would appreciate it. And don't forget, 5-star ratings and reviews go a long way to helping us beat those big tech algorithms. Again, if you'd like to reach out, email us triggered@townhall.com. Hope you are staying cool in this climate change heat wave that we're having here, yet otherwise known as summer. it's just ridiculous. But we will be back here next week on Wednesday, July, what is that, 17th? Yes, July 17th for another episode of Triggered.
See you then.